Good morning. Thank you. Welcome to First Congregational Church. On this day, we know we do have a few folks with us who are visiting from other places, and to all of you, I extend a warm, no pun intended, welcome to this time, and to this place, and to this worship service, and hope that you will want to spend a few moments with us in the Jonathan Edwards room after worship, which is through those doors where we have refreshments, both beverage and food. And I happened to have taken a quick look at some of the goodies that are out there to eat, and I need to tell you they are not to be missed. So I hope you will want to do that. Do we have announcements among us? I see at least one rushing forward.
Good morning. This coming Saturday, August the 11th, the Service League is having their annual summer fair, and we are having all kinds of good things. There's going to be crafts, baked goods, fresh produce, which is one reason I'm talking to the congregation. If you have had a good vegetable garden and you have anything left over or in the middle of or whatever, we would love to accept it. So the sale starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday. We also are having a luncheon. So we look forward to seeing all of you. Thank you.
You'll see in the bulletin that there's a deacons meeting scheduled for Wednesday evening. We are not meeting Wednesday evening. Instead, there'll be a brief meeting right after church in the kitchen with our dishcloths as we dry communion cups. So please come then. Thank you.
Sounds like a wonderful time saver.
As many of you have already heard, we're going to be having a visit from some Mohican citizens to Stockbridge in about 2 weeks, the weekend of the 18th and 19th of August. And in preparation for that, we have a really special treat today. During coffee hour, we'll have a visit from Barbara Allen, who is the director of the Stockbridge Library Museum and Archives, and she'll be telling us some stories that she knows from Stockbridge history regarding the Mohicans who lived here a long time ago. So I hope you'll stick around at coffee hour and get in on that. Thanks.
Good. Thank you. Others? Not seeing any others, I now ask us to prepare ourselves for worship. And let us now participate in our call.
Here is the bread that lasts. Here is food and drink that is eternal. Do not seek that which lasts only a moment, a day, or a lifetime. Here we find each other, and in our midst we shall welcome God. God, we gather acknowledging our need to be spiritually strong to maintain a heavenly perspective in the midst of this earthly life. For though we may be among the world's well-fed, we still hunger for food that money cannot buy, the spiritual food that satisfies our soul's deepest longings. As we worship today, we open our spirits to your feeding, our hearts to your loving, our minds to your guiding, as we pray for increase in wisdom. May the fruit of our lives give evidence of your indwelling and give you glory. Amen. Hymn 492.
Thank you.
This morning's reading is from Exodus 16, 2 through 4, and 9 through 15. The congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there, on the surface of the wilderness, was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'"
I'm not seeing any children. Are there any here today? Oh, what a shame. I had a treat for them, but they'll have to get it next week. I hope that there will be many children here next week. However, not to be missed is our time of prayer. And I invite each of us now to join our voices together in praying our Lord's Prayer. And you are welcome to use Creator, Father, Mother, or any other pronoun you choose to use to describe God. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And of course, I misidentified what that could have been, not a pronoun, but a noun. As we prepare to give our gifts to God, I would share with you a quote from Dr. E. Stanley Jones, who many years ago gave his opinion of what the seven deadly sins were. They were, in order, politics without principle, wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, knowledge without character, business without morality, science without humanity, and worship without sacrifice. We come to worship this day, and may each of us be willing and prepared to share our greatest gifts as we offer them to God. I invite the ushers to be among us. Thank you. The next passage of gospel to be read is taken from John. It is the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 35. Hear these words. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Creator has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give them so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my God who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." May the words of my mouth A quick poll. I am interested in knowing how many people there are among us who have ever taken the journey by vehicle across this entire country. There are a few. Very, very good. Well, despite the beliefs of some people, there is more to our country to the west of the Hudson River than is believed. I told two of our guests from New Jersey this morning that I was going to say something about New Jersey, and that was it. And I originally was going to say that people from New York City, contrary to what they believe, is there's more, but that I think was more inclusive. Our country is a vast and diverse land and a vast and diverse people. I've had the good fortune of traveling across it many, many times, and have also had the good fortune of experiencing the many different cultures that are within our one larger culture. I've also had the good fortune of experiencing every one of the lower 48 states except one. Now, I mean experiencing them beyond just landing at an airport and taking off. The state I have yet to see is truly a destination state, and it is not Maine. It's a destination state. It's one that no one passes through on the way to any other place. It's one of those states that if you go there, it's because you had a reason to go there. You're not just passing through. Anybody want to take a guess at what state that might be? Nobody? No. No, I've been there. No. I haven't been there, but that's not lower 48. It is North Dakota. Or I suppose you gotta say North Dakota. At a wedding here this last spring, there one of the groom was from Great Britain. And because of that, he had all of his family fly in, and friends, many, many friends, fly in from Great Britain to be part of the wedding. And it was in conversation with one of these young men who I believe said he was here for the first time. He asked me where I was from, and I told him, well, I'm working here, but my home is in Idaho. And to that, he asked me, how long would it take you to drive there? And I said, oh, yeah, 4, maybe 5 days. And with that, there was a slight pause, and he responded, you know, that the entire length of the distance of Great Britain can be driven in 1 day. And our country is large, very large. Early in my cross-country driving, I learned to do a little trick. Well, it's not so much a trick as it is a piece of safety. One of the things I learned to do was to always fill a 1 gallon gasoline can with fuel. And I would put it on the top of my car in the roof rack so that, of course, it was safe to have. And I learned that it is necessary when driving across the vastness of this country to fuel the car frequently. I knew it was wise to always have a little bit more. If you've ever driven over some of the wide open spaces of the American West, then you understand that there can be times between long distances between fueling stations, especially if you get off the interstate freeway. Now, years prior to debit cards and 24-hour gas stations, there were gas pumps that could be used in the middle of the night when the station was closed if you were off the interstate. The pumps supplied fuel if you inserted $1 bills. Because Nancy and I would often drive across the country on the cheap. We were very poor when we were younger, and going to a hotel or motel was not an option always, and we would drive through the night. I became committed to driving with a pocket full of $1 bills, especially when in the states of Montana or Wyoming. To this day, should you drive off the interstate highway in some western states, you would do well to not ignore any sign that reads last gas for 100 miles. They're not joking. Fuel up. Make sure your car has enough. Today's gospel reading is kind of like such a sign. The message is fuel up. Fuel up. Be wise. Don't take the chance that you're going to make it. Jesus identifies himself as the fuel that is essential for an arduous journey with vast distances between. And he says it this way, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is a speed bump declaration. What does he mean by telling us that he is the bread of life? How are we supposed to, no pun intended, digest that? Bread is essential for life. Bread, in the time of Jesus, was the essential food. It kept people alive. It made tomorrows possible. Bread and other grain-based foods provided over half of the daily required calories in the early diets of the people in that time, in that place. Bread meant life. To be without bread was to fear that there would be no tomorrow, that there would be no more journey, that there would be no more life. Of all my memories on the highway journeys across the country, one that I still recall was on a hot, blistering summer day. We were on the interstate highway in South Dakota. I was prepared. My tank had gas from the last fueling station, and I had my gallon on the roof. Alongside of the road was a car, and there was an elderly couple standing alongside of it. I stopped, and I discovered that they had run out of gas. My 1 gallon of spare gas went into their tank, and that was just enough to get them to the next fueling station. I had enough to share. Remember as a child being told that if you have a good treat, then you must be willing to share it? When I was in elementary school, chewing gum was absolutely prohibited. But I do remember one of my teachers saying that if you're going to chew gum, she'll allow it if you have enough to share with everybody else in class. The bread of life is not to be embraced and hoarded for selfish use. It is to be shared. Have any of you ever been in North Platte, Nebraska? You've been there? You know the story about North Platte? Oh, it's one of the most incredible stories in the history of recent times in this country. North Platte, Nebraska is kind of a cowboy town now, but it's also a railroad town. It's where every passenger line and freight as well, going from east to west or west to east, had to go through North Platte, Nebraska. North Platte is right at the edge of the High Plains. Once you get to North Platte, you're into the west, and you're getting going from there to a higher elevation. During World War II, all the troop trains went through North Platte, Nebraska. Every soldier, sailor, airman, marine who was going to the west coast was put onto a troop train, and they were sent through North Platte, Nebraska. It became clear to some of the people in town that it was a long and arduous trip, and that the soldiers and sailors and military people were cramped on that train for a long time. So at the station, they set up a canteen. And the canteen offered coffee and donuts. And the train would stop there for 10, 15, 20 minutes to refuel or to get more water. They were steam engines. And the military personnel would be able to get off the train and receive some of the goodies that a few of the local people put there. There was rationing during that time. And it was decided by the people at the canteen that maybe they could do this more. For the entire war, not one single military troop-carrying train went through North Platte, Nebraska without being able to receive some of the goodies that the local people, without any assistance other than themselves, were able to provide for them. It was a time of rationing, and the farmers brought in their goods. The local people volunteered their time. For all that time, not one single train went through. There was always enough to share. In Sardinia, there's a town named, I believe it's pronounced Bosa, if anybody knows how to pronounce that, or if I'm incorrect, I apologize. It's a community that's believed to have been settled by the Phoenicians. It's among the oldest settlements in the Mediterranean. The character of their food, the character of the community was a food culture, and it had been that way since history had started that they've known of. It was a bread economy. In other words, everything that was done and everyone in the community worked for the production of making bread. It united the community. After World War II, that was changed. Wheat production ended, and food was now imported. Bread could now be purchased more cheaply and conveniently at a store. Now, here's the problem. When the bread economy disappeared, so did the tradition of shared work that was with it. The sharing of one's bread with those in need also came to an end. Bread making instead of being a social, cultural, and inclusive way of living, bread simply became a product. Even the eating celebrations around the bread disappeared. Bread was more than bodily nourishment. It was the tie that bound people together. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." It is a social, cultural, and inclusive way of living. It is to be shared, and in the sharing, tomorrows are possible for everyone. In the sharing, there is hope. It is the tie that binds people together. Christianity, in my opinion, has been going through a major alteration in modern days. It has been morphing into a religion of personal spirituality. I do not believe that Jesus ever intended that to happen. The accounts of Jesus and bread always have him sharing it. It's always in a setting of developing and strengthening community. It's not only the Lord's Supper that we hear him sharing. It's also on the banks of the Sea of Galilee when he fed thousands. It's in the home of Mary and Martha where they all gathered. It's in the house in Emmaus where his disciples cowered after his death. It is the sharing of bread. It's in the building and the uniting of a community. This is the last fueling station for the journey, and here is where you can get enough to see you through. The bread of life is not intended to separate us from others. It is not intended to be a bread economy that excludes others who do not grow, mix, bake, or distribute food. It is not a food celebration for a select few, for we are all select. It's a message that there is enough for everyone, and by the way, here's extra for you to carry along the way, because most likely you're going to encounter someone who is out of fuel and who is hungry, and you will have enough to share. The bread of life is not about moving us inward away from the world. It's about moving us outward into the world and into the needs of the world. I like what William Willimon wrote recently. He says, "Isn't it interesting that Jesus did not say, 'I am the cherry's jubilee of life'? He says, 'I am the bread of life.' He is not some exotic, every now and then mountaintop experience. He is the normal, natural stuff of sustenance. He is the bread of life. It is in this normal, natural stuff of sustenance that we connect with God. It is not in the exotic. It is in the normal, natural stuff of sustenance that gets us from here to there and from today and into tomorrow. It is the normal, natural stuff of sustenance that provides us the fuel, the spiritual, the hope for the rest of the journey. Be fed, be nourished, be filled, and continue down the road, but don't forget to have enough to share. Don't forget to take enough to feed a fellow hungry traveler along the way. For you see, when we do that, we can all get there. And I do believe that's what God wants of us and to happen. We must all get there. Amen. Our next hymn is being sung from page 501. The title is Bread of Heaven, On Thee We Feed. Thank you. Please do be seated. We're about to enter our times of prayer, both vocal and silent. But prior to doing that, it is most fitting, most appropriate for everyone here to have an opportunity to share any concern or joy you might have that you want the rest of us to not only hear, but to include in our own silent prayers later. If you have a joy or concern, you are invited to share it. Could you say that one more time, please?
Prayers for lighting hunt.
Thank you. Others? Well, I ask for our continued prayers for the people in this world who face violence. The violence of Syria is one place, but I am not going to limit my concerns for that. I also pray for the violence that is imposed upon people in our community and in our nation, sometimes even in our families. Please pray for the people involved in violence. Let us now be in a time of silence and share with God our prayers. God, to you who is the eternal provider, we lay ourselves bare before you. We open our minds, our hearts, our feelings, our thoughts, our experiences, and we ask you to help us. We know that you are a God who is always available to help and to hear and to respond to all needs, and we ask that of you today. God, we pray for those who enter times of health issues, for the people entering surgery, for the people who are facing frightening moments within their lives. We ask you to be the spirit that comes to reassure of your eternal hope. We ask that each of us will also be given the strength and the resources to be able to be helpful to those who surround us, to be comforting, to be hopeful. We ask that you will be the one that gives us strength to be such a person. God, we continue to ask for prayers for those people who are in the midst of violence, for those who receive it, and for those who do it. We ask for your help in leading us toward becoming a world of peace, a place where people are able to embrace each other with differences, where power is not grasped to the end of life, but where all powers exist to help and to build. God, we pray for the church, for forgive us. There are times when we become self-centered. There are times when we become so focused upon our own structure, our own needs, our own spirituality, that we forget the greater call that you have beckoned us all to create a world where your realm is going to reign. God, we are grateful that you are with us. Give us courage when we are afraid. Give us hope when we are without it. Give us the energy to go into tomorrow and all the tomorrows that shall follow. We pray this faithfully in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are about to now enter into our time of communion, just sharing of the bread, the wine, being nourished. And let us enter this by acknowledging who we are and knowing that God loves us anyway. Let us share our prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, you come to us with the true bread of life everlasting. But we so often foolishly turn to a more delectable, appealing, but deceptive lure. When we eat at the table of the world's values, we end up feeling devalued and still hungry. We may become workaholics in the drive to amass riches, supposing these will bring happiness, yet we end up impoverished in love, in relationships, in health, and in spirituality. You have taught us that spiritual growth comes through commitment to you and to things eternal. We confess our failure to completely trust you with our lives for every provision we need today and into eternity. Forgive us and grant us the blessing of fulfillment in restored relationship. God gives the bread of forgiveness to all who repent of their sin, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Christ is the true bread, given that we may eat of God's love and mercy, be freed and filled. Thanks be to God.
Cared for. This meal represents that kind of love, Christ was raised from death, appeared to Mary Magdalene. On that same day, he sat at table with two disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were at the table, Jesus wanted to give them something beyond that moment. So they had eaten the meal, and then just took another loaf of bread. He broke it. He gave thanks, and he said, "This is my body, which is to be broken for you. Eat it, exceedingly. And in the same way,